The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 23rd chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When they had reached the place called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there, together with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Abba, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing." Then they divided his garments, rolling dice for them. The people stood there watching. The rulers, however, jeered him and said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he really is the Messiah of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him. They served Jesus sour wine and said, "If you really are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was an inscription above Jesus that read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there beside him insulted Jesus too, saying, "Are you really the Messiah? Then save yourself and us." But the other answered the first with a rebuke, "Don't you even fear God? We are only paying the price for what we have done. But this one has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your glory." Jesus replied, "The truth is, today you'll be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated. When I was in high school, I had my eyes on this specific pair of shoes I wanted. They were the newest shoes Nike had out, and they were perfect. I begged my mom to buy them for me. She told me she would never spend $120 on a pair of tennis shoes. But I could not let these shoes go. They were orange Nike Shocks, and everyone at school had a pair. I wanted these shoes so bad. So I started to diligently save every penny I had, and I mowed as many neighbors' yards as I could to go to the mall and buy those shoes. Finally, I made it to exactly $120. I excitedly told my mom, "It is time now to go to the mall because I have my money." I proudly walked into that store. I walked straight to the shoes. I held them in my hands, and I told the worker exactly what size I needed. I already knew. And I followed her quickly to the cash register. And she rang up my shoes, and I got out my $120, knowing that these shoes were about to be mine. And then she said, "That will be $127. But I knew these shoes were exactly $120, and that's exactly what I had. I turned to my mom with tears welling in my eyes, and this is the day I learned the hard truth about taxes. As I have grown up, I have continued to learn the hard truth about taxes. Taxes come out of every paycheck, and even more might be due in April, or in some weird magical calculation, the IRS might give you money in April. Even better, when you get married, your taxes get all messed up again. And don't even get me started on clergy taxes. The moral of this story is that taxes are confusing, but we have to pay them. The government requires that we all pay certain taxes at varying levels. Well, most of us, that is. And if you happen to forget that taxes are due, or you just think you don't want to pay taxes anymore, you will get a rather unfriendly visit from the IRS. Now, you might be wondering why I am talking about taxes on our final stewardship Sunday, or how this fits into the reign of Christ Sunday. Well, if we are being honest, our taxes go to a kingdom of sorts, right? A kingdom that we are required to pay into. A kingdom that at times doesn't reflect any of our values, and a kingdom that rarely remembers to feed the poor and clothe the naked. This kingdom allows the tax burden to be on the poor and the middle class, while rarely taxing the rich or corporations. This kingdom requires our money, and we have no say in it. We are required to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. But this is not the kingdom we are here worshiping today. This is not the kingdom that brings us to this place every Sunday morning. Jesus hanging on the cross opens up a whole new reign. A reign that is not even of this world. A reign that doesn't make sense in our minds. The kingdom Jesus professes is one that shows a radically different way than the kingdom we pay our taxes to. This is why when I refer to Jesus, I call it a kingdom, K-I-N-D-O-M. We are kin in this place, and Jesus did not come to have kingship over, but rather came to connect us as one family whose main message is God's radical grace. When I speak of governments of this world, I call it a kingdom, K-I-N-G-D-O-M, because many of them exist to lord their power over others or elevate themselves to higher powers of position, no matter what it costs. Jesus came to participate in a new way of being that has nothing to do with power over. Jesus's reign with this kingdom is one that does not know political campaigns that smear opponents or engage in drawn out political debates. This kingdom of Jesus is for all people. Not just for people that can vote or who have paid taxes or who are of the correct political party. It's a kingdom that radically changes the world. This kingdom is life-changing. It's a kingdom that says you are worthy and loved no matter what, just as you are. It's a kingdom that says, sure, we will make hard decisions together as a community so that our neighbors can have safe housing. It's a kingdom that you don't have to prove yourself because you are named and claimed as a beautiful child of God. This kingdom knits us together as community, a community that can be vulnerable, honest, and broken together. Because we know that we are broken, but that we are loved anyway by a God whose love knows no bounds. This kingdom tells the most marginalized that there is a place for you here. This kingdom knows radical love and grace because God, through love, became a human and died on the cross for everyone. Now, I don't think I need to make all of the connections for you about how radically different this is than our current political reality or any political reality we have ever had. Since before the time of Jesus, political kingdoms have messed up. They have used power over others and have neglected the poor among them. They have created unjust policies and have only had their best interest in mind. And yet we are required to pay into this political system. And I think we should, don't get me wrong. I think taxes are a great thing. I like taxes because it means that I am providing something for my neighbor that they can't provide for themselves. But there are some things that I do not like my taxes being used for, like building new youth jails, or maybe just the fact that we have no idea where our taxes are going or what they're being used for. While we are required to pay into this political kingdom, we are granted the opportunity to pay into the kingdom of God, a kingdom that proclaims love to the widest depths of the earth and speaks truth to power on behalf of the oppressed. Now, I don't know about you, but this is exactly the type of kingdom I want to be paying into. The church doesn't always get it right, and it might not spend your money exactly as you think it should, but what a joy it is to give to a kingdom whose creator died for all. Your gifts to this place ensure that we can continue to create a wider and more generous table. Your gifts ensure that we, right here on the corner of 132nd and Greenwood, can continue to actively share Christ's love in community. That looks like passing out lunches Monday through Friday to those who are hungry, or having our beautiful community garden space so that folks can grow their own nutritional food. Your gifts ensure that we can keep our lights on so that community groups can come and learn about sobriety and share their own hard stories during the week. Your gifts also keep your staff fed and housed so that they can continue to worship with you and bestow your gracious gifts on this community. You donate books and then give your time to read them to our neighbors next door. The list could go on and on about all the ways in which your money, gifts, and talents keep this place alive. This is a small but mighty congregation making a huge difference on the corner of 132nd and Greenwood. You have all opted to continue funding and participating in the kingdom of God, and I am so grateful for that. This is a kingdom that is worth buying into and a mission that is worth telling others about. I can truly tell you that this congregation has changed my life, and I know that it has shaped and changed the lives of many others. And for that, I have to say thanks be to God. As we sing our hymn of the day, I invite you to take your slips of paper, your pledge cards, and place them in the fish basket on the table. If you happen to forget your pledge card or your slip of paper, there are extras there. These pledges that you give ensure that we have a solid budget moving into the next year of ministry. Thank you for investing in the kingdom of God through Luther Memorial. Amen.